Hi, this is John Weber. I'm sitting in for Marion McPartland on Piano Jazz. Our guest is pianist, composer, arranger, educator, and recording artist Joan Stiles. Joan, welcome to Piano Jazz.
Hi, John. Thanks so much for having me here.
Pleasure is mine. You're a very busy working jazz pianist based here in New York City. And first of all, congratulations on your incredible success as a band leader and as a creative force out here in New York City. I'm happy to see you gaining more recognition as a composer. Some really marvelous performers have recorded your compositions and arrangements. I could think Warren Vache and Joel Fromm and Frank West. And tell me some more people who've recorded your music.
Well, Clark Terry, for one, and then Jeremy Pelt, Steve Wilson, Joel Fromm, and I had the great opportunity to play with the really smoking rhythm section of Peter Washington and Lewis Nash. They worked with Tommy Flanagan for over a decade, so it's a fantastic team.
You know, of all the career possibilities, you have to admit that being creative for a living is a pretty good life. People call us to perform gigs. We play tunes with our friends. You know, sometimes we create these instant arrangements right on the spot, and we improvise on jazz standards. Sometimes we even get to play our own music on the gigs, the stuff we wrote. If I said, hey, Joan, please play Surrey with the Fringe on Top in D, I bet you could do it.
I bet I could, especially since I've recorded it.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that's why. And knowing you, you will probably come up with some extremely hip counter melody. Would you do that?
I'd love to do it. Thanks for asking.
Thank you. That was cool.
Thank you.
I love that vamp. I love the triplet figure that you're playing, sort of evocative of Munch's epistrophe a little bit, the half step.
Yeah, and a little bit maybe of the horse's hoofs. Hooves on the Surrey, and that's why I slowed down at the end. It's like, you know, just getting to the destination. So it's a little bit of, you know, Richard Rodgers meets Thelonious Monk.
I got the musical depiction immediately about a horse-drawn carriage being pulled, that whole triplety thing. The wheels are yellow, the upholstery's brown, the dashboard's genuine leather.
It's great. You know the words. That's great.
Ice and glass curtains, roll that down in case there's a change in the weather. Okay.
That's right.
Why do I know that?
I know. I have it in my memory bank, too.
Joan, you impress me as a born improviser. And with your creative streak, tell me if this is correct. Did you improvise before you even know what jazz was?
Most definitely. And my first musical experiences were all about improvisation. My father was an amateur singer. And when I was about 8 years old, he taught me the basic triad, so basic chords. And I would sit with him, and all I would have would be the lead sheet symbols, like, you know, G major, C major. And I would make up accompaniments while we sang together. And we would make up vocal harmonies as well. So that was my first bonding to the musical experience, and also what a great thing to do with your father.
What a cool dad, right? I mean,
yeah.
When did you finally discover jazz as a musically precocious teenager?
Well, I can't say that I did until I was actually older than that. I knew of its existence, but as far as really getting into it, I only had two jazz records when I was a teenager, and those were Thelonious Monk's By Himself and also Bill Evans's Portrait in Jazz. And so it wasn't that I was really a jazz aficionado, but I knew enough to appreciate, you know, great music when I heard it.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of teens who become intrigued by jazz and young people who come by way of rock and roll, I mean, they're gateway jazz musicians and artists that they appreciate most are often pyrotechnicians, you know, hard, fast, loud, like rock, you know, like rockers.
Right.
And, I mean, you are, on the other hand, Bill Evans is the antithesis of that, and Thelonious Monk is so cerebral and brilliant. I mean, it wasn't always that way. People didn't always appreciate him for the genius he is. But you wrote a tune called Spherical, and it's dedicated, of course, to one of your primary influences, the one and only Thelonious Sphere Monk.
Yes.
And it's the opening number on Love Call, which is an excellent record of yours.
Thank you, John.
Do you remember when we crossed paths in Rochester back in 2004, I think it was?
I do.
Just as Love Call broke the top 10.
It just did, yes.
And the opening tune is Spherical. And I would love to hear you play it.
Oh, I'd love to. Let me do that.
Thank you.
Wow, that was great, Joan.
Thank you, John.
You know, we should let people know what's going on here. My name is John Weber. My guest is Joan Stiles. I'm sitting in for Mary McPartland today. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. This is Piano Jazz from NPR. You wrote a very clever arrangement of Fats Waller's classic standard, the Jitterbug Waltz. Or is it just Jitterbug Waltz? I don't even know.
Jitterbug Waltz, yeah.
There's a melody and a counter-melody, and Joan, since there are two of us, why don't we play a duet?
Okay, let's do it.
I'll play a melody, you play a melody.
Okay, here we go.
That was a great arrangement.
Thank you. It was so much fun to play with you. You were doing all those Waller and Tatum-esque things. That's just what I would envision for it if I had the chops that you have.
I couldn't even focus on what I was trying to do. I was listening to your counter melody, and I thought, that's so much more interesting than what I'm doing. And I didn't know which to do. It was.
Well, the great thing is that we complemented each other, and now we can compliment each other.
yes. And there was even some kind of boogie stuff in there.
Which,
later in Fats' career, he did a couple of boogie-woogie things. But
yes.
Certainly one of a great admirer of Fats Waller who did play a lot of boogie was a woman who was an incredibly good-natured mentor for a lot of younger musicians herself eventually, Mary Lou Williams.
Yes. And there's a piece called Waltz Boogie that's a boogie in three. And that definitely influenced my arrangement of Jitterbug Waltz. It's even in the same key. It's in E-flat. It goes into a straight boogie-woogie, but it keeps the three feel.
She played a killer boogie-woogie
in
bebop. Bebop. I mean, she toured with Dizzy later on. I mean, it's you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You do an entire program titled mostly Mary Lou. Tell me what attracted you to the music of Mary Lou Williams when you were young and, I mean, you're still young, but when you were young and impressionable, okay?
Well, I think that it had an impact on me that there was a woman who was making music that I had heard about. So Mary Lou Williams and Marion McPartland are two important people in my life in the sense that I knew that they existed. I wasn't going out to jazz clubs or doing any of that stuff when I was younger, but I knew of their existence and knew that they, you know, represented, you know, making wonderful, you know, music. Mary Lou Williams I had heard about because she had a steady gig at a place in the village called The Cookery. I guess this was the late 70s, and again, I wasn't really a jazz aficionado, but I had heard that there was this amazing female pianist who was, you know, playing at this restaurant, and I decided to go, and I think I was so brave as even as a teenager to go by myself. And I can't say that I remember anything that she played, but the impression that she made upon me sitting there at the piano was that I had never been close to a woman with such strength. She had the most powerful vibration of anybody I had ever been around. And I imagine that, you know, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, if you saw them at the piano, they didn't even have to play. They had this command over themselves and the music that was just extraordinary. And that's the impression she made on me was more about that than the music. It wasn't until later that I decided to get into her music. And I went out to the Institute of Jazz Studies at Rutgers, and Annie Keebler, who was is actually the curator of her collection, took me around and showed me the scores, and I was able to use that material and put together some material. There's a foundation, the Mary Lou Williams Foundation, and Father Peter O'Brien is the head of that. So there is a tremendous body of work of hers that is available, and I was fortunate enough to be able to delve into that and to, you know, choose from different pieces. And then I wrote my own arrangements because I wasn't content to just take her stuff.
Which I definitely want to hear. It must have been really something. I mean, her presence, I can even see it in that picture, in Art Caine's picture, The Great Day in Harlem. There's
yes.
She and Marion talking to each other in the
yes.
front row.
Yes.
You know, what a beautiful moment that was.
Yes.
And she arranged for many of the prominent big bands, Ellington, Earl
yes.
Hines, Benny Goodman, and just all kinds of music. I mean, just she didn't stay in the boogie era. She ended up just
yes.
going with the times and playing with Dizzy and everyone
sure.
else.
Sure. And to tie it all together, Mary Lou Williams was Marion McPartland's first guest on Piano Jazz.
That's true. Now, there's a really nice, a very hip tune called O.W., and I don't know what O.W. means.
Orlando Wright. He was a friend of hers, so she created this title. It's a piece for him. He was a musician.
I knew you would know. And I want to hear you play O.W.
Okay, I'd love to do it.
Thank you. was very nice, Joan.
Thank you. Just a minor blues.
There are some variations on that blues, so you were going all over the place. Okay. Did Mary Lou do that, or is that your innovation?
Well, that's my thing. I try to do a little bit of the way she played through all the styles, and no pun on my name.
Right. Well, you have one thing that really stands out about your composing and your arranging and performing is you have an intuitive ability to write melodies and very intelligently balanced counter melodies. I'm hearing your left hand does this thing, and then your right hand does this thing, and they call and they respond, and it's just I've heard your band play two songs simultaneously because they happen to fit together, and I guess your mind's ear hears music in that way, and you have a very strong understanding about the I want to call it counterpoint, but
it is counterpoint, yeah, but not in any formal sense, yeah, but line against line, yeah.
You do it very well.
Thank you.
Well, there's more music on the way in a minute. I'm here with Joan Stiles. This is John Weber, and you're listening to Piano Jazz from NPR. Find artist information, set lists, and more at our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Joan, in 2007, you released a great CD cleverly titled Hurly Burly. Explain the significance of the title Hurly Burly.
Well, there's a Shakespearean reference from the Scottish play, When All the Hurly Burly's Done. But the main reason I titled the CD Hurly Burly is that Mary Lou Williams' maiden name that she got from her stepfather was Burley, B-U-R-L-E-Y. And since a lot of the selections come from my mostly Mary Lou concert series, I decided that it would be appropriate if I named the CD that. And I also have this composition that's my dedication to her, my homage, that's called Hurly Burly. And then it's subtitled J2 Mary Lou.
You are very intelligent. I love this stuff. I'm learning so much today. If you will indulge me, I'd like to play Hurly Burly with you.
Oh, that would be great.
Well, let me try the bass line. I'm going to do the bass line, and you take the melody. How's that?
I love it. Let's do it.
a great tune.
Oh, that was so much fun, John. That was great to get that bass support from you. Just the right feel for it. I would love it if you play something for me. I think your playing is so extraordinary.
Oh, well, you know something? In order to keep up with you, I better try playing two songs at the same time.
I like that.
I will play it for you. How do you like? Okay, here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I will play the infamous Small Cousin Walter medley.
Okay.
I did this at Carnegie back about 2004, and it actually dates back about 20 years before that. It was I had a Sunday brunch gig. It was a 7-day-a-week gig. This is back in the days when you actually had 7-day-a-week. And a bass player and a drummer were with me, and for no apparent reason, I started playing these two songs at the same time. One was what we call Small Cousin Walter. I was in fifth grade. I was the one kid in class who could play this. Okay, I could play that on guitar and I could play it on piano, that 4-chord rock anthem. All right, and I became the uncoolest kid in class because I sang the wrong words. I had one of those Panasonic spherical little radios with a speaker about the size of a Susan Anthony dollar. And it was about the size of one of those magic 8-balls that you shake up and I sang Small Cousin Walter, I'm firing this guy. Because I couldn't understand. I did a little crackly speaker. Who knows? So that became Small Cousin Walter. And that followed me through my whole life. And I think a Small Cousin Walter fits in really well with another song. And I'll show you. Thank you. Okay, lightning round. What's the name of either of those songs, or both?
Okay, well, this water imagery definitely going on, because you have Jobim's Wave and then Smoke on the Water.
Which song was written first chronologically?
I would think the Jobim, but I honestly don't know.
I believe it is the Jobim. You're absolutely right. You are magna cum laude.
But anyway, John, that was so wonderful.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, you're such a fabulous pianist and musician. And that arrangement was hysterical. It was beautiful and hysterically funny. So combining the two things, it takes a mind such as yours.
It was magna cum lousy. Well, there's more music on the way in a minute. My guest is Joan Stiles. Piano Jazz is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm John Weber, and you're listening to Piano Jazz from NPR. On Love Call, you did an arrangement of When I Fall in Love. You arranged the most wonderful chord movement for your horn ensemble, an octet, I'm guessing, and a little big band, right? In other words, not quite a Count Basie-sized band or a Duke Ellington-sized band or a Doc Severinsen with a Tonight Show-sized band, but something, I guess you had to make the harmony sparser or something. How do you arrange for eight pieces?
Well, I wasn't thinking so much about harmony, at least on that piece, and instead I was thinking linearly and worked lines out that would work with each other. I started with the outer voices, so I started with a bass line that would sound good with the When I Fall in Love melody, and then filled in with other melodic lines. It wasn't until much later that I decided that I wanted to improvise on it, and then I made up some chords that were sort of similar to what I had in those lines that I created. But I wasn't really thinking about a chord progression, at least on most of that piece.
Well, would you play for me what you wrote for your band on When I Fall in Love? I would really love to hear this.
Okay, I'll try it. I'll do a reduction of it, and we'll see how it works out.
You're right. We have a measly 10 fingers, and here you have to cover 8 voices at once. Joan, that was glorious.
A lugubrious love song.
That was reminiscent of Alban
Berg's. Of a funeral dirge.
It was
mixed
not,
with a love song.
No. It was the motion. Yeah. It was like a string quartet, like Alban Berg's string quartet, the 1910 second movement. Which sounds like jazz, by the way. It wouldn't be the first or last time that the symphonic world has influenced the work of us piano jazzers. From your album Hurly Burly, you recorded a really pretty waltz titled Past Imperfect. And I know I'm always fascinated to discover what inspires a specific composition. So I'm going to ask you, what were you feeling when you wrote Past Imperfect?
Well, it was actually written for a theory class. And we were doing some analytical work on Chopin. The piece sat around. It was a solo piano piece that I had written, nothing to do with jazz. And then at some point I thought, you know, this might work to open it up for soloing and to use it as a jazz piece.
It definitely works. Would you play Past Imperfect for me, please?
I'd love to, John.
Well, Joan, your writing is incredible. I really
Thank
have to
you, John.
Give you credit where credit is due. You do a wonderful job. You write beautiful waltzes. You write swinging tunes. You write great ensemble pieces.
Thank you.
I would love to hear a tune about New York. You're born in Brooklyn. I want to hear a New York song.
Okay.
One of yours.
Well, how about West End Boogie? I happen to live on West End Avenue in Manhattan. And this is a song that I recorded with Joel Fromm and Matt Wilson.
Play the West End Boogie. Let's hear it. Wow, Joan, if that doesn't get your pine top perking, I don't know what will. West End Boogie, I love it.
Thank you, John.
Now, we've been here almost an hour, which means that we get to perform one last tune, and it's a shame that we have to wrap this show up, because when you have a job as fun as this, time really flies. Hmm. I would like to close with one of your tunes.
Oh.
There's a terrific song that you wrote. Let's see if I pronounce the title right. It's called Bebopicity.
You have it. That's it.
All right. And it's sort of like Groovin' High. It's sort of like but it's way beyond Groovin' High. It's harder than Groovin' High.
Yeah, well, it goes through these different keys, but it also has a little bit of Tad Dameron's If You Could See Me Now. So that's why I call Bebopicity, because it's got a bunch of bebop stuff in it.
Yeah, so if I wish Tad could hear this now.
if he could hear us now.
Yes. Joan Stiles, it has been an immense pleasure having you on Piano Jazz.
It's been great to be here, John. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Marion McPartland's Piano Jazz with guest host John Weber. Today's guest has been Joan Stiles. Join us each week at this time when Piano Jazz brings you outstanding artists for conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Tyler Hartman, mastering engineer David Mitchell, engineering assistant Dale Anderson, production assistant Grant Jackson. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1101 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To find out more about the artists and music selections heard on Piano Jazz, or to listen to a recent program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.